Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A science story, huh?
Is NYU scientist the
I felt right.
But I was so
and I
happy.
Just thought, well,
I figured it out.
It was that golden moment.
Because science was on my side.
Hey everyone, I'm Ben Lilly, and welcome to the Story Collider, where we bring you true stories of how science has affected people's lives. This week's story is from Jess Zimmerman. The story was recorded in March 2013 at Union Hall in Brooklyn. The theme of the event was brain awareness.
Hey, so has anyone ever tried to date a philosopher? Okay, this is good. This is good. It's not too many people. Because if you've ever tried to date a philosopher, you will know that you should never try to date a philosopher because it will make you crazy. They have, and I'm sure it's not like all of them, it's just maybe 90, 92%. They tend to have these carefully constructed worldviews that are perfectly elegant, perfectly self-consistent, and perfectly disassociated from anything that happens in the real world. And if you've ever tried to date a neuroscientist, sorry guys, you will know that they will also make you crazy because they know exactly how and why you're crazy and will tell you so using science words. I used to date a philosopher of neuroscience, which is like a two-for-one sale at the shitty boyfriend store, which is not to say that he would accept me saying that he was my boyfriend, God no. He actually was my philosophy professor initially, and of course he, yeah. And of course he had this perfectly elegant, self-consistent justification for why that was okay. But it kind of involved never acknowledging that anything was going on. And I had actually taken philosophy of mind with him. But I think even if I hadn't, I would have sort of taken it on faith that he knew more about what was happening inside my head than I did. I mean, the man had a double PhD in philosophy and neuroscience, all right? That's real world experience right there. Yeah. Plus, you know, I was 21 when we met, which is an age when, like, you spend a lot of time thinking about yourself and who you are and what you're like and why you're so fundamentally incapable of acting like an adult. But you don't, you know, have any of the necessary perspective to do any of this in an informed way. And here I had a brain expert who was really invested in what the hell was wrong with me. So I was like, oh, sign me up. So let me give you an example of how this worked, and I use the word worked very loosely. Let's say that he wanted to tell me that I was being too emotional, which is sort of a canonical thing that jerks think about women. With your typical jerk, he'll just say, oh, you're being so emotional and illogical, and then you either say, oh, sorry, sweetie, or yeah, who gives a shit, depending on, you know, what the rest of your relationship is like and who you are and whether you're 21. With this guy, it was more like, you know, I think you may have limbic system damage. You think I what? Well, you know, you seem to be having trouble controlling your emotions. You seem to be, like, maybe not remembering stuff about your life. And that sounds like limbic system damage to me. It can come from stress in childhood. I didn't have that stressful of a childhood. Well, you probably just don't remember it as stressful because of your limbic system damage. And now, you laugh, but you guys, I took notes. I mean, like, I'm not saying that it never occurred to me to say, well, yeah, but also maybe I'm being emotional because you're being a dickbag. And in fact, I would write him these long emails where I was kind of like, I think that maybe your model of how my brain works is wrong in some particulars. But I almost never sent them, because he just had so much more authority than I did to say what was happening in my brain. And when I did send them, I would get back responses like, do you even know what you just said to me? Is your brain really that variable? And I'd have to think, you know, maybe it is. So it was a great relationship, which he would have hastened to tell you was not a relationship. But even though it kind of made me miserable, I was also so smitten that I didn't even really notice when it started to kind of shade into something that was really pretty bad for me. I really thought that there was something seriously wrong with me pretty much the whole time, because he told me that there was, and he's the guy who knows. And I definitely always fell all over myself to do whatever he asked me to. I won't tell you what most of that was, because my mom is here. But I will tell you that when he asked me to be a subject in his brain scanning experiment, I jumped at it like a puppy. First of all, it's a chance to help him and, like, see him at work. And second of all, he would be paying so much attention to me. And also, he paid $20. But actually, I think he didn't even tell me about the $20 in advance, since he didn't need to. So what this guy was interested in academically was the question of consciousness and, like, how and why consciousness happens in the brain. And so he was very interested in the difference between what's happening in your brain when you're conscious of something happening versus when something happens that you don't actually notice. And so one of his particular areas of interest, and I still think that this is incredibly cool, is called change blindness or inattentional blindness. It turns out that when something changes really gradually or it changes while you're distracted, you actually don't notice that anything has changed at all. So the canonical experiment for this is you show people a video of basketball players tossing a ball around, and you tell them, count the number of times that the players wearing the white shirts pass the ball. In the middle of this video, a person wearing a gorilla suit wanders into the frame, stands in the middle of the basketball game, kind of beats his chest a little bit, and then walks back off. 50% of people do not see the gorilla, have no idea that it was there. You show them the same video again without the counting task, and they are flabbergasted. This also works if something changes very, very slowly, like say you're watching a picture really intently and the sky is very gradually changing from blue to red. If it's slow enough, you're likely to not notice it at all. So this experiment, this was not a change blindness experiment, but it was about consciousness in a similar way. In the short version, another scientist had noticed that there is a particular brainwave pattern that would show up on a magnetoencephalogram, an MEG scan. It would show up once if you had one stimulus, like maybe you heard a click, and twice if you heard two clicks, but only once if you heard two clicks that you thought were one click because, like, they happened so close together. So in other words, this oscillation only shows up if you're conscious of hearing something. So he wanted to see if he could replicate these results, which is how I ended up in the MEG lab at the University of Maryland. The first thing that I did when I got there was I had to go take off my bra. So I was like, oh, I'm on familiar ground here. This is what happens every time I see you. In this case, it's because if you have any metal above the waist, it messes with the machine, which includes underwires, although actually those are mostly made of plastic these days, so I don't know. But so I did that, and then they sat me down, and they immobilized my neck in like a whiplash brace kind of thing. Then they ran a pen all over my scalp to get the shape of my skull, which is actually incredibly relaxing, and I recommend it. And then they put sensors all over my head. So by the end of this, I'm sitting there, you know, braless with like this electronic Esther Williams cap thing on, and really glad that I'm going into the MEG where nobody can see me. So an MEG machine, if you've never seen one, it looks basically like a narrow bed in an enclosed room with a toilet seat at one end into which you're supposed to stick your head. So it's less scary than an MRI because it doesn't have the whole like noisy iron lung thing going on, but it's still pretty surreal to have somebody put sensors all over your head and direct you into a room where you plug your head into a toilet. But as it turns out, that was actually like the least surreal part of the whole experiment, because what I was supposed to do was listen to these series of clicks and say whether what I was hearing were single clicks or double clicks that were happening at almost the same time. So I'm lying there trying to listen really, really intently to these clicks. Click, 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 click. And I started to feel like I was going into a trance. You're actually supposed to have your eyes closed for this test, and I started dozing off, and I'm even, you know, having those little dreams that you have where you're trying to do a task over and over again. Click, 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 click. I'm in class, and the clicks are a test, and I'm failing. Click, 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 and the clicks are noises coming down a telegraph wire, and I'm trying to interpret them. Click, 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 click. And every so often, his voice would break in telling me, you know, what the next part of the task was, and I would kind of jolt awake like, oh, no, I wasn't sleeping. He told me later that my voice was at 10% panic level, which, oh, yeah, you have a calibrated scale. Of course you do. But I don't remember feeling panicky. I just remember feeling kind of disembodied and unreal, lying in the dark, fighting to stay awake, listening to these clicks, click, 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 and I suddenly think, wow, this is a really poorly designed experiment. Because it depends on attention and concentration, but if you put a person on a bed in a dark room with their eyes closed and make them listen to hypnotic clicking sounds, they're going to fall asleep. So, you know, he's trying to evaluate consciousness, and I guess the experiment is set up really well to look at consciousness, except for the part that where it is virtually guaranteed to make you unconscious. So he's getting bad data because he's trying to look at people's brains and just really totally ignoring how people work. Now, it still took me a couple of years to fully take on board what had started to change at this moment, but lying there thinking, you know, he may have the inside line right now on what's happening inside my head, but I don't think he's actually understanding what he sees. It was like I had a moment of going, hey, did a gorilla just walk through here?
That was Jess Zimmerman. Jess is the editor in charge of cute animals, science weirdness, penis jokes, and Hitchhiker's Guide references for grist.org. Before that, she did actual journalism for factcheck.org, and somewhere in there she wrote alternately embarrassing, feminist, and embarrassing/feminist essays for XO Jane. She lives on the internet and also in Brooklyn. This event was produced in conjunction with Be Brainy NYC as a part of the Dana Foundation's Brain Awareness Week. For more science stories, take a look at storycollider.org, where we have our magazine, archives of the podcast, and upcoming events. The Story Collider is a nonprofit, and we depend on you for our continued support. If you enjoy these podcasts, please consider donating at storycollider.org/donate. The Story Collider is produced by me, Brian Wecht, Aaron Barker, and Ari Daniel Shapiro. The podcast is produced by Rose Eveleth. Additional help from Brooke Williams, Lena Groger, and Justin D'Ambrosio. The theme music is by Ghost. Special thanks to Union Hall for hosting the show, and to Toilet Seats for mostly not recording my brain activity. Thanks for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.